Miles Monroe International is dedicated to helping you discover your God-given purpose, maximize your potential, strengthen your personal leadership, and become an agent of change.
Kingdom key to discovering your life's purpose. How to find out why you were born. I believe everybody wants to know that. Let's talk about the goal of the kingdom. What is the purpose for Jesus' invitation for you and me to come to the kingdom of God? First of all, the kingdom of God is not a religion. The kingdom of God is the rulership of a king over a territory and people in it. A kingdom is a governing authority of a king over a territory. So as we approach this chapter, I want you to follow and see that the goal of the kingdom of God, the reason why Jesus came to earth, the entire motivation of God was very simple. Let's talk about them one at a time. Number one, God's goal, or the goal of God's kingdom, the plan of that kingdom was to provide restoration. This is very clear in the Bible. The goal of God was restoration. That is why when you study the word of God concerning God's plan for man, they all have to do with things like redeem, restore, revive, recompense, reconcile, return, renew, reward, redeem. I mean, all of these words describe God's plan for you. It's a re-plan. Restoring something. But the question is, if the goal of God's kingdom plan is restoration, what does he want to restore us to? And what does he want to restore to us? That's the question. If the plan of God is restoration, redemption, rewards, revive, restore, recover, renew, all these things, what is God trying to restore to us? And what is God trying to restore us to? I am asking two questions. What is God wanting to restore to us? What did we lose? And what is God wanting to restore us to? What did we leave? First of all, God wants to restore man back to him. That's obvious. God says, return unto me. All ye like sheep have gone astray, each man to his own way. Return unto me, he says, and I will forgive you. So his first restoration goal is to restore us back to him. Okay, that's fine. But the second restoration goal of God is to restore man back to his image. That is what God talks about. He sent Jesus Christ to restore us back to the image that we lost. We were made in God's image. That image has been distorted by disobedience. So the restoration program of God through his redemptive work in Christ is to restore you back to the image that you lost. But the third, very important, is God also has the goal of restoring man back to his dominion. Remember that the first thing God gave Adam after he gave him his image was dominion. So when Adam disobeyed God, he lost dominion. We're going to talk about this more specifically in a moment. But that's what God gave Adam. Adam did not fall from heaven. Adam fell from whatever God gave him. And God gave him dominion over the earth. However, this one is more detailed. God's goal in the kingdom was to restore man to his area of domain. God never told man to dominate people. He told man to dominate the earth, the environment. In other words, God gave you a specific area in this earth realm to dominate as your domain. So there's an area you were born to dominate. There's a domain that you were built to control and to rule. And it's not people. I'll put it this way then. God wanted to restore you back to his assignment for you. So the goal of the kingdom restoration is to restore all of these things back to you. I'm going to back this up in a moment of scripture, but it's important to know why God sent Christ. Now notice that heaven is not listed there. God did not send Jesus Christ to restore you to heaven because you did not lose heaven. That's important. Whatever we lost, that is why Jesus came to earth in the flesh, God, to restore us back to himself, to his image, to his domain for you, to his dominion in your life, and to restore you back to his assignment. Is that clear for everybody? Okay, that's important to know what God's goal is, so that your expectations don't become unrealistic. Now, let me show you that this is true. First of all, what's the purpose for your salvation? Now, this is a very important question, because as a religious person, you can run into problems. That's why I'm not religious anymore. Religious people believe that God saved them or salvaged them to go to heaven. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches this concept, and let me read one place where it is very clear. It's all through the Bible, but let's read this one reference. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It's an important verse to underline in your Bible. It's about you. And here's what it says in the Bible about you. It says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in the image of Christ Jesus." For what reason? "To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Wow. Let me read it from the King James Version. The King James Version says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works that were prepared for us before the world began." Now, read that verse carefully. This tells us why God created you and also why he saved you. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, not to go to heaven, but to do some work. And that work was work that was prepared by God for you to do. How long ago? Before the earth was even made. In other words, you know, I've been teaching for years that God finished your life first. And then he backed up and he started it. So you were started after God had already finished what you were born to do. Well, here we see God is saying, look, I didn't give you birth and then discuss with myself, I wonder what I'm going to do with this girl. God didn't walk around wondering, what am I going to do with this guy I just gave birth to? I don't know what to do. Let me figure out something to do. No, God already had work already laid out, completed. And then he gave you birth to start it. Now, if God gave you birth because there's some work that he wanted done, that he already did, that he wanted you to do, that's the mystery. Then when God gave you birth, before you finish the work, if something goes wrong, then God would have to salvage you. Look at the word salvation. Eh? Now, if God salvaged you, why would he salvage you? So that you could complete the work that you didn't finish, that he gave you birth to start, that's already finished. So the Bible says, you are saved to do work, not to leave earth, not to go to heaven, but to do works that were prepared specifically for you before the world was even made. So the purpose for salvation is for you not to go to heaven, but to go to work. This is very important. Because you see, religion teaches that when you get saved, you kind of hang on until Jesus comes. You kind of just, you know, endure until he cracks the sky and he takes you out of all this trouble. And you kind of just bear it until he comes. That is not scriptural. I love what Jesus said in the book of Matthew 5. He says, you need to let your light shine before, not angels, but men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Glorify means they will give credit to him and say, only God could do what you're doing. Now, so the reason for salvation, the purpose of salvation is to do what? To go to work. Let's see if that's true. The question that you should be asking your mind right now then is, what are my good works for which I was born? If he said that he salvaged you for the purpose of some works, then your number one goal is to find out what you're supposed to be working. Because if you are breathing and on this planet, you're supposed to be doing something. And whatever you're supposed to be doing is what he gave you birth to do. And whatever you were born to do is what he already finished for you to start. He didn't give you birth to sit in a religious group called church and sing all the time. God is not interested in all this stuff that we spend doing, all this religious stuff. He's looking for work. The question is, what are my works that I'm supposed to be doing? What is my role in the kingdom of God? Okay, now we then go to this book of 1 Corinthians 2, because that's what it talks about. Verse 1 is just a salutation. I want you to follow through this chapter very quickly with me, because the verses are important. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, now we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood this wisdom. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Okay, get your Bibles and underline a couple of words here. Paul says, we speak of God's secret wisdom. Write this down in your notes. God has secrets. The Bible says God has some wisdom, and it is secret information. Secondly, underline these words, destined and glory. He said the wisdom that God has, that is secret wisdom, secret information, it is hidden in God. And the information is about two things. It's about destiny and glory. Now, he says that the rulers of this age do not understand this wisdom that God has. This is going to be a good night tonight. Hallelujah. Everybody say secrets. God has some secret information that is hidden in him, and the secret information is not about him. It's about something that he had destined for you. And it is your glory. And it is hidden for you. And it was hidden in him how long? Before the world began. Are you following this? God has some information on you, and he's hiding it. I'm going to show you in a minute why he's hiding it. And it says the information God has is secret, but not to God. And it's not about him. It's about you. He says the authorities of this age did not understand it. That's important. That means the authorities of our culture cannot give answers to why we exist. The only person that knows the secret about you is God. So your professor in school, your school counselor that you went to find out what career to take, God says she don't know what your purpose is. Your father and mother who you were born with, they don't know the secrets about you. Your best friend from junior high school until now, they don't know why you were born, because the secrets about you are hidden in God. So he said, don't trust anybody to tell you why you were born. Now, the word rulers of this age means the authorities of any discipline. Psychologists, psychiatrists, theologians, philanthropists, philosophers, those who in all kinds of deep studies. He says they still don't know the secret about you. They may study the secrets about plants, the secrets about animals, all the intricacies of science. But he says they'll never know the truth about you because that information is hidden inside of God. Secondly, the wisdom is called God's secret. The wisdom in God is a secret. Well, the third thing is important. Why does God keep this secret about you? Here's why. When Adam sinned, the Holy Spirit left him. That means the only person that knew why Adam was created used to live in Adam. And when Adam sinned, God withdrew his Holy Spirit because Adam became an unholy vessel. Are you following me? So the only one that had the information about Adam left Adam. So Adam became a creature living on earth with no idea who he was and why he existed, because the secret was withdrawn and God put it back inside of himself. Are you following me? So when Adam fell, he lost the truth about himself. Therefore, God kept the truth about you within himself. God didn't trust your mother, your father, your teacher, your counselor, your pastor, your bishop, or your pope. God said, this information about every human is going to remain inside of me. That means you can never know who you are and why you were born until you can get down into God, swim around and find information on yourself. That's impossible. But that's the only place you can get it. And therefore, here's a statement to be written down. No one knows the product like the manufacturer. God created you. He knows why he created you. And he hid the secret in him, because you became unholy. And so the only person that knew the truth about you left you. And that is why we have been living on what I call our intellect for over 6,000 years. We are now in the 7,000th year since Adam was created. Do you know what it is to live all those years and never know who you are? No wonder why we keep changing jobs, changing careers, experimenting with our life, our time, our talents. Because we ain't quite sure why we're here, what we're supposed to be doing. And so we keep on manipulating life and hoping we hit it right. That is why when you go to psychologists and psychiatrists, they can't help you. They don't know who they are themselves. Because the secret about them is also hidden in God. No one knows the product. Write this down then. No human can know the truth about you. This is a very important revelation I got when I was a teenager. Because when I was born in Bain Town, in that environment, everybody was telling me what I should be. And every single one of them was wrong. And they're doing that to you. There are people who already got your life mapped out. Sometimes it's your parents. You will be mama's nurse. I always wanted to be a nurse, and I couldn't be a nurse because I couldn't afford it. So since you're my daughter, you're going to be a nurse. See? And so your mother is calling you rather than God calling you. How many children are living the dreams of their parents rather than God's purpose? And that's why they're frustrated. They're doing things they were not born to do, to please their parents, not to please God. I say it again, no human know the truth about you. Because the truth about you is hidden in a secret place, in a place you can't get to. It's hidden in God. Now, here's something important. The secret wisdom we read just now is defined. God says, this secret wisdom is what God had destined for you. First of all, it says it's your glory, and then it's your destiny. The secret about you is your glory. Now, I think we all may have studied this with me some years ago. Maybe if you didn't, please buy my book on the glory of God. Because the word glory means full weight. It's the word doxa in the Greek New Testament. It's the word kabod in the Old Testament Hebrew. This word kabod or doxa in Greek, it means true nature. It means full weight of something. It means the true essence of a thing. God says, the true essence about you is hidden in me. He says, the true weight that you really are, the who you really are, I got it hidden in me. Isn't that beautiful? That's why he used the term destined. Your destiny, the completed you, is hidden inside of me. So the secret about you is your destiny. And God hid your destiny inside of him. That's why your future can never be found in anybody else. It can't be found in college. It can't be found in a degree you get. As a matter of fact, you'll be amazed how many degrees are the wrong degrees. Because people study without knowing God. And then when they met God, they realized that what they were born to do, they got the wrong degree. This is a powerful verse. It also says that the secret about you is God's original plan for your life. God says it was set for you before the world began. The original secrets about why you were born were already established before you was conceived. And so God has been holding on the inside of him the truth about you all during these thousands of years. And when you were born, his number one plan is to get you to know the secret about you. I'll show you this in this verse. It's a powerful verse. The secret about you existed before the world began. And therefore, God didn't give you birth and then try to figure out why you exist. He established your destiny first. And then he gave you birth. That means then the secret about you cannot be discerned by human intelligence or by an IQ test. How many of you have allowed the exams in school to determine who you are? I am an educator by profession. I'm an educator by training. I got a degree in education, and I don't trust education. Because education will only test you at a moment in time, which means that if you had a bad day and took an exam, they will take that score and label you for 10 years. Here's a girl going through a menstruation period and she takes an exam. I mean, what's going to happen to that score? Secondly, how can you give me an IQ test and use the results to measure my future? IQ test, an intelligence quotient. How can you use any test to measure my intelligence? Are you serious? I got 500 billion cells in my head. How can you use an exam for 2 hours to measure that? But we allow people to stick it to us. And they say, well, you are an A student or a B student or a C student or an average student. And you take that score with you from high school into old age. I've come to tell you that's a lie. Some of the greatest people in the world dropped out of college. Like the guy who invented Apple computer never finished school. What do you do with Bill Gates, who they actually sent for help, psychological help in high school? They said that he wasn't learning. Bill Gates. See, these exams, you got to be careful. This is a very important point. The truth about you can never be known by anyone or any institution, because where is it hidden? Inside of God. And I'm telling you, what protected me is when I understood this. No one can discern your human ability. Let's see if that's true. Look at verse 9. However, it is written, it says, no eye have seen, no ear has ever heard, no mind has ever conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. That just canceled all of your professors, all of your counselors, including your parents and your cousin. God says, look, nobody knows the secret I have about you. And then he says, they cannot even discern it. You better get this. See, when you study this chapter, it sets you free from other people's opinions. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered the mind of any man what God has planned for you. Isn't that good news? You should give the Lord a hand. That sets you free from people measuring you. That means if you failed last year, that was in you, the rest of you ain't come out yet. Can I hear an amen? If you lost something, the business fell apart, that ain't you. That was just a piece of you. They should see what's going to happen in 2008. It's going to shock them. Because no man has ever conceived what God has in store for you. See, this stuff will set you free from people. Can I hear an amen? Amen? But now here's the big one. Since nobody knows it, and only God has it, the information, then the next statement is important. Underline it in your Bible. It says, but God has revealed it, the information, to us by his capital S, Spirit. Whenever you see Spirit beginning with a capital S, it's not referring to the human spirit. It's referring to the Holy Spirit of God. Now notice, the information, the elders don't know it, the authorities don't know it, your friends don't know it, your parents don't know it, none of your culture know it, society doesn't know it, nobody knows it, but there's only one person that knows it. What's even more important is the person who knows it wants you to know it. God doesn't want the secret about you to remain a secret. That's the joy. And the only person that knows it is God himself. But he wants to reveal it to you. So the key to the kingdom, this is an important point here. The key to the kingdom secret about you is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. This is why the whole world needs the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, you are living another life. Without the Holy Spirit, you are busy doing things you were not born to do. Without the Holy Spirit, you are misusing energy, time, talents, and gifts. If there is one thing you embrace in this planet, it better be the Holy Spirit. Because he's the only being who knows the truth about you. Can I put it this way? Only the Spirit can reveal the secret about you to you. This chapter is incredible. You remember Jesus talking to his parents one day, earthly parents. They found him in the temple. And they said, what are you doing here? Why did you do this to us? His response was, Didn't you know? That's an interesting question. He was telling his mother and father, didn't you know? In other words, even my parents don't know what I was born to do. If my mother and father knew who Miles really was, they would have treated me with better food, maybe. Or, you know, I don't know. You just don't know who people are. You see, there's a verse that we read earlier. It says, if they knew the wisdom about God, they would not have crucified. See, in other words, if they had only known who you were, there's some things they would not have done to you. Can I put it in another way? If you knew who you really were, there are some things that you wouldn't do to you. That is why when you drink alcohol and destroy your liver, smoke cigarettes and burn up your lungs, smoke marijuana and destroy your cells in your brain, take cocaine and fry your cranium, if you only knew what you were born to do, you would never do that to yourself. You see, the abuse of your life is proof of ignorance of your life. What kept me away from drugs? I was born in Bain Town in the Bahamas, where that's where drugs began. The first gang in the Bahamas was led by Poker, and it was two corners. You remember? Right down McQuay Corner, right down the street. Remember? You grew up where I grew up. That's where the gang started, man. These guys started beating up everybody. Our house was half, maybe 50 yards from them. That's where I grew up. Two bar rooms on both sides selling alcohol of our house. What kept me? At 13, I saw my vision. And every time they invited me to smoke a cigarette or take a little beer, I kept saying, I can't do that, because if I do that, that will kill me before I finish what I see. See, my dream, my vision, my assignment kept me from destroying myself. Most of those guys are now dead. They died from cirrhosis of the liver, lung cancer, drug overdose. They terminated their assignment before fulfillment. Only the Spirit can reveal. Take a look at this statement. The secrets are hidden deep within God. So the key to life is, how do you get down into God and get the truth about you? How do you get him out? Oh, the answer is beautiful. Only the Spirit knows, the Bible says, the deep secrets within the Spirit of God. Only the Spirit knows the deep things of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know, what amazes me is this. God is already deep. How can a deep God be deep? God deep as it is. But God also has some deep things in the deep God. I have a picture of this in my mind all the time. Here's the picture I have in my mind. I see God as this beautiful, awesome being. And inside of him is all this sea of information about you. And for you to get the information, you got to somehow find someone who, watch this now, it says, who can go into God and then dive down into the deep things of God and swim around to find information on Mr. Brown. And then come back to the surface, come out of God and say, here's what I found about you. I keep picturing that when I read this verse. The Spirit, the Bible says, what? Searches. He goes down into God. Now remember, the secrets are where? Hidden deep in God. It says, and only the Spirit can go down into the depth of God and find and searches out. I like that word. He looks for information just on that one and that one and that one. And he brings it back and he says, you want to know who you are? I'm the only one who knows. The secrets of God are incredible. Look at 1 Corinthians Look at verse 10 in your Bible. It says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? Even so, in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, Paul is using an example here. He says, the same way no one knows you like you. Because only you could go down into you and know the truth about you. You know exactly the truth about you, and you ain't telling us the real truth about you. There's some things you know about you, you ain't going to tell us. So the spirit of the man knows what's inside of a man. Watch this now. He says, the same way, no one knows the deep things of God except the Spirit of God. That means the only one who can know the thoughts of God is the one who can go down into God and get God's thoughts. Now, underline the word thoughts, please. Oh, I wish I had two more days to talk about this. This one, this is so deep. Everybody say thoughts. See, it's giving away what secrets are. The secret things, which are the secret wisdom of God, is called the thoughts of God. There are some thoughts God had about you that made him create you. And when Adam sinned, he withdrew his thoughts. And so the thoughts that he had for you that made him create you are trapped in God. And only the Spirit of God can go down into the deep things of God and get the thoughts of God on you. Let me just try and connect this with a scripture. Turn with me to the book of Psalm 139. Very interesting psalm. Psalm 139. Hold that a second. Anybody has it? Psalm 139. It's a beautiful psalm, and it's a psalm about you. As a matter of fact, the psalm is about man, David, talking about himself. And David, in Psalm 139, makes a statement that is very appropriate right now in this particular context we're studying. David says in Psalm 139 these words, and I love this verse 15. Let's start from verse 11. Surely the darkness will hide me. The light became night around me. Verse 39. Chapter 39, verse 11. Everybody has it so far? Chapter 139, verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark for you. The night will shine like the day. Verse 13. For you created my innermost beings. You knitted me together where? In my mother's womb. I praise you because I am what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are marvelous or wonderful, and I know this full well. Now look at verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret places. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw what? My unformed body. That's why God hates abortion. His eyes on embryos. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days of my life were ordained for me and written in your book. When? Before any one of the days began. But verse 17 blows my mind. How precious to me are your thoughts. I rest my case. He says, look, you finished my life before you started it, wrote the whole book on me and ended it, and then you started my life. And that book is filled with the thoughts about me. Oh, if you read the last statement, which I didn't read, he says, if I was to attempt to try to understand the thoughts, it would be like trying to count the sands on the seashore. In other words, what you think about me is so awesome, it's impossible for me to calculate what you think about me. Let me put another example. You work in a shoe store. You think you have a good job. And God is thinking, In my thoughts, you own the store. In other words, God's thoughts are always above your thoughts about you. Here you are, you're a manager. God said, manager, I see you as the president of this company. In my thoughts, you don't make burgers, you own the burger store.
I'll never forget one day I was watching TV. And I was a little boy, in a black and white TV, you know, yeah, with the hanger on top. Yeah. That's how poor we were. And I'm laying on the wooden floor watching Flipper. And I heard my mother, get it from that television. It's time to go do your homework. And I'm still there watching. And she's getting irritated. So she comes and she says to me, I'll never forget this. She said, what's wrong with you? If you don't go do your homework and get some education in your head, you'll die watching TV when you could be on it. I got up. So today I'm on TV. See, you could watch TV, but God's thought may be different. You're supposed to be on it. Amen. No man knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Can I put it this way then? The key to this whole thing is the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Let's read that. Please underline that in your Bible. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from who? God. Why did he give us the Holy Spirit? He tells us why. That we may understand what God has freely given us. Please underline that verse. He's telling us the purpose for the Holy Spirit. The purpose for the Holy Spirit is not for you to have a good dance in a meeting or to be slain on the ground under the anointing. I mean, that's all and wonderful. I'm not against that. But that's not why he came. It says the Holy Spirit was given to you so that you may know and understand what God had freely given to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit came to give you something free that God wanted you to have. And it's the information on you. That's why it's important for you to have and cultivate a daily relationship with the Holy Spirit. See, we ignore the Holy Spirit. I constantly am aware of the Holy Spirit living inside of me. Because he keeps telling me the truth about me. People call you fat. What did he say? People call you stupid. What did he say? People call you lazy. What does he say? People say you'll never make it. What does he say? Oh, you're too far gone. What did he tell you? See, if you don't listen to him, you're going to believe what they say. Very important. It says he gave you the Holy Spirit so that you could understand what God has freely given to you. Oh, I love this. The purpose for the Holy Spirit then is to reveal to us the truth about ourselves. That's the purpose for the Holy Spirit. Now, this is very deep. You know, Red, let me tell you something. If you learn this, the rest of your life will be different. Because you begin to think with him. And the dreams he thinks of you are so much bigger than what you're planning. That if you stay with your own thoughts, he'll say, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher. In other words, you don't even know who you are and you are living below your privilege. What you are proud of, I'm ashamed of, he says. That's why I'm very sensitive when people give me awards. Because awards could give you a false reality of who you really are. Be careful when they give you an award at work. Because they ain't seen nothing yet. See? Matter of fact, let's take a look at the purpose for the Holy Spirit in Joel chapter 2. This is very important. Verse 28 says, and afterwards, God is speaking, I will pour out my spirit on all people, your sons and your daughters. And they will prophesy. Your old men will do what? Dream dreams. And the young people will do what? See visions. Even on my servants, both male and female, I'm going to pour my... Listen, God said, look, the purpose of the Holy Ghost is not for you to feel good, have a thrill, and dance and shout and fall down. Look at that verse. He says, I will pour my spirit on all flesh. All. And when he comes upon you, if you are old, he'll give you the dreams you lost. If you are young, he'll give you a vision to fulfill. That's why you need the Holy Spirit, son. Not to be religious, but to find out what your work is. How many people you know have the Holy Spirit and they ain't doing nothing? Thousands of them. Some of the laziest people in the world are Christian people. They ain't doing nothing except just waiting on the Lord. Wait until he comes. Wait until he comes to take me. I'll fly away. Oh, God said, would you just get to work? Go do something and make the world different. I gave you birth for an assignment, not for an escape. There it is. Holy Spirit came to give you information. I put it to you then that the Spirit has some secrets. What are the Spirit's secrets? I wanted to give you this verse as an example. Do you remember when Jesus was talking to the disciples? And I think it was a test, actually. It was a test. He said, who do men say that I am? Now, remember I told you that the whole point of this chapter is the truth about who? About who? About you. Not about God. About you. Right. This session is the most important session I tell you could ever get. Get this CD and listen to it 10 times. Because the Holy Spirit revealed to you some things that you never dreamt of. Jesus Christ is asking the question that you've been asking all your life. Who do men say that I am? And so your parents got an opinion. Your friends got an opinion. The teacher has an opinion. The counselor, the guidance counselor has an opinion. The professor has an opinion. Your friends have an opinion. Who do men say that I am? And Simon Peter. So they said to him, some say you are a prophet. Others say you are John the Baptist come back from the dead. Others say you are Elijah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these were real opinions. They were quoting people. Please don't miss this. And everything that they quoted was wonderful. I mean, if someone told you remind him of Elijah, my goodness. Boy, you feel important all of a sudden. See, you know, you remind me of John the Baptist. Woo! Wow, I must be really spiritual. You know, you remind me of a prophet. Gosh, that goes to your head. In other words, people will tell you things that sound good, but wrong. Even the good things they say about you cannot be trusted. That's my point. They didn't say, some say you are the devil. Everything they said was good. Can I hear an amen? See, you can't even trust when they give you an accolade. And then Jesus turned to them and says, who do you say that I am? Now watch this. Remember, the truth about you, nobody knows. So he was testing them. He knew that they didn't know. He knew that all the others didn't know, because no one knows the secrets about a person except who? The Spirit of God. So they were quiet for a long time because they didn't know. Because the answers that they gave, they thought were the right answers. And then Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's not Peter's answer that amazes me. It's his answer afterwards. He said, blessed are you, Peter. In other words, you should be happy, man. Why? For this was not revealed to you by your intellect. You couldn't analyze me with your intellect. You couldn't know me by analysis and assessment and taking a test, an IQ. He says, the information you got couldn't come from your brain. See the answer there? He says, you should be so happy, Peter, because you just got information from heaven. The Father took some secrets and let it enter your mind. My point is this. Peter did not know who Jesus really was. God just took the credit from Peter. He said, you don't get credit for this information. This information came from the only one who knows it. Wow. That's why you can't trust the people they say about you. God came to Gideon. Gideon is hiding under the floor of a house, threshing a little bit of wheat, and he's afraid to go out because he might be killed. The guy is coward 101. Okay? The angel of the Lord, and many scholars believe that this is Jesus, that term, angel of the Lord, is usually referring to Jesus, came into the little room he was in. And the angel says, Gideon, mighty man of valor. Now, you got to understand, now, this guy is a top-rated coward. And the man just announced that he's a great warrior. So now he has a contradiction in his mind. This man is seeing something different than what the angel is saying. Now, somebody's telling the truth, and somebody's not. Gideon says, I am the least of my clan. I am the least of my people. I am afraid. I am weak. I am small. I can't do it. And this other person saying, you are mighty. You are great. You are awesome. You are victorious. Somebody's lying. I wonder how you feel this week. What did they say to you? What they've been telling you for the last 10 years? Guess what? The angel was right. Because the angel knew the truth about him. You may not look anything like who you are right now. That's why I got to respect you. Because when you become great, I don't want you to forget me. Be nice to me when you come into your glory. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And notice the word glory. When you come into your full weight, remember me. Remember me. Here's something I thought was interesting. Verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. I call this the key to the truth about you. It says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is who? From God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. Verse 13. This is what we speak then, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by what? The capital S spirit. He says, look, you went to college, get all this information about all this stuff they taught you. He said, but don't believe none of that, because the truth about you is not in college. You don't get to know who you are by letting men tell you.